Last week we went over Acts chapter 4, and we near about got through the whole thing.
Near about.
So close, and yet so far away. Yeah, up to where they were praying. So we got up to about verse 30. And so last week we were talking about in Acts chapter 4, and we saw what the Lord had done as Peter and John, they were arrested. They were forbidden to preach in the name of Jesus Christ. They were beaten and they were sent home, you know, and they glorified in that. And so when they came back to the guys, back to the apostles and stuff, and we're going to pick up in chapter 4, verse 30. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe we ought to go back. Anyhow, we'll go down up to 29. Now, Lord, look at their threats and grant your servants that they will be bold, or with all boldness, that they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and that wonders would be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. All right. So that's the end of their prayer. Then it starts out right here. This is something that the Holy Spirit did right away. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. Could you imagine that? You know, now put yourself back in the day, right? You're there, you're preaching the word, you get caught by the authorities, you know, out here on the streets, and they say, shame on you, don't you do that no more. And then you say, well, should we obey God or should we obey you? And you say, well, we're going to obey God. And so you go back and you give your testimony and you say, man, this is what God did. We were arrested. Praise God, we were arrested for the glory of Jesus Christ. And so they got together and they prayed for boldness. And as they prayed, a mini earthquake happened. The house was shaken. You know, the place where they were assembled together started rattling, knocking around. That's enough to just freak you out, isn't it? I just can't imagine it. You know, I don't know if I built the stage well enough for that. I might be underground. But by the grace of God, I don't think that's going to happen tonight. But they were gathered together. They were in one heart, one mind, and they prayed in unity. And as they prayed in unity and they spoke the word with boldness, as they prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. And now the multitude of those who believed, they were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of things that they possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Now, a lot of folks get this and they say, well, geez, they were communists. They lived in a commune. They all came together. They all had all things in common. Put yourself back in the day. Now, these were Hebrew people. Okay, they were brought up in the Hebrew traditions. And when you turned your back on the traditions that you were raised with, you were under great persecution. You lost your home. You lost your family. You know, because you were born again, the folks who used to know you wouldn't have anything to do with you anymore. Because you surrendered to the Lord Jesus. You surrendered to His word, to His ability in your life. And when you did that, your family just absolutely turned their back on you. They would have nothing to do with you. They wouldn't talk to you. You couldn't come to their house for food. Anything that you owned, because remember how they lived back then. Like I would take a bride, right? And I'd come back to my dad's house where I'd built a house inside of his house. And so it's like this big circle and dad lived in the middle and we built condos around him, all around him close. Now, your condo just got took away. You have no place to lay your head. You have nothing. Really and truly, you have nothing. All your pots and pans, your clothes, your lawn, everything that you had was taken from you and was left. And your family said, I don't want anything else to do with you because you've decided to follow Jesus Christ. And that's against our religion. And see, the religion of mankind killed the love that God was desiring to start. And we need to be aware of that. You know, our religion can hurt people. You get in this mindset that we're right and they're wrong, or we got it and they ain't got it. That's not what we have is ability to surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we do, He supplies all of our needs. And that was what was happening here. They surrendered to Jesus Christ. They all came together with one accord, one place. They had unity. Everything that you see here, they were together with one mindset. They were of one heart, of one soul, neither did any one say that the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. In other words, if I got a car, you need a ride, we got a ride. You know, if I got a pot of beans, you're hungry, we got a pot of beans, you know. And so it was that kind of mindset, that kind of gathering together. It was really meeting people in the middle of their need, which that's our call, is to meet people in the middle of their need and love them where they're at. And that's what this original church, the very first church, that's what they were doing, is they were coming together and they were loving one another. They were of one mindset, one heart, one breath. One would inhale, the next would exhale. And they were in unity and smooth. It flowed so smooth. It was absolutely wonderful what God was doing there. And in 34, nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or of households sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold, and they laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each one as they had need. Now, Jose, how do you pronounce that, Josie? 36, and Josie. Hoses? Jose. Yeah, I like Jose. Jose. And Jose, whose name Barnabas, which is translated the son of encouragement. He was a Levite from the country of Cyprus. He having some land, he sold it and he brought the money to the apostles' feet. Now, all these things were done out of a pure heart. They were done out of true love. It wasn't because I had to do it. It wasn't like these today preachers that you see on the TV that were saying, sell your favorite thing and give me the proceeds of it, and because you sold what you have, then I'll pray for you and you'll get a reward. That is blasphemy. That's not what the Word of God says. That's not what they were doing here. They were selling what they had to provide for the need of a group. Now, do you remember how many folks were in this church? On the first day, there were 3,000. A week later, there were 5,000. 8,000 people, 8,000 men plus wives and children were gathered together in this Solomon's porch. So they had a great need for stuff. You know, just imagine 8,000 people trying to go to the bathroom at the same time. You got a need for stuff. You know, you need some things. You need food. And you're looking at our bathroom. It wouldn't hold 8,000 people. But, you know, see, yeah, so if you can imagine the logistics of the whole thing, the way that there was such a great need there because there was such a great swarm of peoples. And so the folks who had things, they saw the need and they did what was necessary to tend to that need. They didn't think that I have a piece of property and I'm going to sell it and I'm going to, except for these couple that we're about ready to talk about. There's a man and wife. Now, every time you get something going good and smooth and in the will of God and things are just kind of floating along the way that they're supposed to in the Word of God, you'll find this word, but. Things were going really good. We were all sharing. We were all living alike. We all had the same heart. We all had the same compassion. We were going in the same direction. But there was a couple. There was a husband and wife, Ananias and Sapphira. His wife, they sold a possession. He kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter, now, all right, yeah, there's selling something, there's nothing wrong with it. Bringing part of it, there's nothing wrong with that. Offering it, there's nothing wrong with that. But what we're going to see here in a minute, there was a serious problem with what they did, because they did it with a lie. They did it. They were doing it to look like Barnabas. They were doing it to say, hey, wow, look at me. Wow, I am the great, wonderful giver, just like Barnabas, the son of encouragement. I want to be just like him. I'm going to give everything that I have. But they were liars because they didn't. They didn't give everything they had. What they did do is, well, actually, I don't even want to call them liars, although the Bible calls them liars. In every body of believers, what happens is God plants good seed, okay? And when that seed starts to grow and it starts to produce a crop, the enemy comes in and he throws a like seed in the ground with it. Okay, in the Bible it's called wheat and tares, okay? And so The farmer goes out and he throws good wheat out, and the wheat starts springing up. The enemy comes in at night and he throws tares out and amongst the wheat. Now, a tare and a wheat, they look just alike when they're growing. I mean, when they're in first stage, second, until they grow the head, the fruit of the wheat, you can't really tell a difference in them. I mean, they look identical. They smell identical. If you were to pull them out of the ground, the roots look the same, the stalks look the same, the leaves look the same. The difference is when they go to produce fruit. When they go to produce fruit, one is edible and one's poison. Okay? Now, our enemy comes along and he sows in the body, tares. We might even have some tares here. Who knows? You know, but I do know that the Word of God, we got the mains. We know they're tares and we're looking out for them. So we know that it happens. But in that parable, I think it's in Matthew 13:26 where that parable's talked about. In that parable, what Jesus says to do is don't pull out the tares, because if you pull out the tares, you're going to disturb the wheat. So let them both grow together. And there's a miracle that can happen there. If you're a tare in a field of wheat, you might hear the Word of God and God change who you were and make you into wheat. He can take a tare and turn it into wheat, you know, because God's good like that. He does miracles like that all the time. He can take something bad and make something good out of it. So we're not supposed to even mess with the tares, the pretenders. We don't mess with them. Okay, what we do is allow them to grow up with us. Let their fruit be known. You know, God will settle all that stuff out a little bit at a time. Ain't none of my business. You know, my business is simply this, to love you. Whether you're a tare or wheat, I'm going to love you. Whether you're in the Word or out of the Word, I'm going to love you, because that's what we're called to do. Anything besides that is religious. Yeah. It's where you get and say, ooh, look at me, I'm all pontiff and stuff, and y'all are not quite there. I have a stage, and I can stand up here and preach. And so we got to be careful of that. We got to make sure that we're able to meet people in the middle of where they're at, regardless of where they're at, and to love them right there. And so... But God had something else to do, because this was the beginning of the church. This was the very first of the church. And so God handled it a little bit different than what he tells us later to handle it. So in verse 2, chapter 5, verse 2, and he, Ananias, kept back part of the proceeds, and his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. And Peter said to Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? Wow. How did Pete know that? You know, he's just a guy. He knew it simply because the Holy Spirit revealed it to him. And the Holy Spirit wanted it to be known what was going on. And so, ta-da, I did the wheat thing and did the heart thing. Okay. All right, just making sure I'm up with my notes, because I wrote them this morning. And Peter said to Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart? Now remember, Satan filled his heart. When we go back in the book of James, we have a series of things that happen. You lust, and then after you lust, that lust turns into desire. And after you desire it, that desire turns into sin. And when that sin's full grown, it grows, it kills you. It turns into death. So Ananias was lusting for a better look. You know, he wanted to look good in front of other people. He wanted to put on this big fakeness, this hypocrisy.